Hey, folks, welcome to another episode of Deep Fried Bites. My main man, Woody, what's up, sir?
Oh, I'm tired, but I'm having fun here at PDC.
Yeah, it's been a strenuous week. We've been mixing and mingling and getting to talk to a lot of people and having a good time here at PDC. Folks, we are live on the expo floor of PDC.
Yeah, you might hear some noise in the background. But it's all a lot of fun here. Just great things are happening.
We're actually sitting down today, folks, with Gabriel Torok. He is the chief peanut butter spreader, as we like to say, over at Preemptive Solutions. Gabriel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So this week, Microsoft made a big announcement for your company and some stuff. And so we wanted to just get you on because we thought it was a really cool story that developers would like to hear about just in case they missed it. So give us the elevator pitch of what was announced, basically, Gabriel.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you very much. So what Microsoft announced on the first day of PDC, it was one of the official press releases, was that inside Visual Studio 2010, DaFuscator will now contain application feature monitoring, usage exploration, and tamper detection and reporting. So this is a material change to something you guys have probably already using. You know, we estimate there's probably about 500,000 people or so using DaFuscator inside Visual Studio, or at least who've tried it. And now in Visual Studio 2010, you'll be able to do a whole lot more than just protect your code. You'll be able to actually do instrumentation where you connect your code with cloud services without writing any code. So it's really very exciting.
That is cool, yeah. Now, like, you guys have been around in Visual Studio since, like, what, 2003?
Exactly. We've been inside Visual Studio since 2003, and as far as I know, we're the only third-party shipping code inside Visual Studio. All the rest of it is, you know, Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, it's for those that don't know, DaFuscator is a way that on the .NET platform, because we can actually use some other tools, one of them is called Reflector, we can actually look at the source code to the code that we write on the .NET framework. Now, what you guys provide with DaFuscator is you provide a way that if somebody was to use that tool, they would just see a bunch of garbage, basically, and it sort of obfuscates their code.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, the fundamental idea is that with .NET, because it's so open and rich, you can take a free tool like Reflector and in a matter of seconds get the source code back almost verbatim. And, you know, people have done that and then had their source code posted on blogs and critiqued. And, you know, there's really no good that comes of giving your source code to somebody unless it's open source, in which case it doesn't matter. The interesting thing about Reflector itself, because I know Lutz wrote her very well, the person who wrote Reflector, is that he actually uses DaFuscator to protect Reflector against reverse engineering itself.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. But some of the transforms like control flow, when Reflector detects it can't undo it. There's no equivalent in source code. So basically, he just throws up a message saying, "This is garbage. I can't undo this." And so,
Yeah. So that's been a great tool. A lot of people have been using it for a long time. So now you just said earlier that developers can use the new stuff you're baking in not to change their code. That's a pretty cool story. So do a little deeper dive into how that's working and what, you know, developers will see in the interface and kind of how it will work.
Okay, excellent. That's a great question. So inside Visual Studio now, in addition to just seeing the ability to do obfuscation, you'll see the ability to do instrumentation transforms that allow your code to connect back to services. So, for example, one obvious example would be if you care enough to protect your code, you probably care enough to detect if somebody's trying to tamper with your code. So what we give you is the ability with just checking a box to say, you know, let me know if this code has been tampered with, and, you know, it'll send a message and you'll be able to see it and allow you to respond to the tampering. So maybe it'll do a callback to a method and it'll call it back only if we detect the code's been tampered with. And then you can do a number of things. You can stop the application from running, which is very obvious, or maybe you can have it run in a degraded mode, or you can do something that would, you know, maybe you have them reinstall it. You know, that's sort of up to you. And there's some differences between what you get for free in the box and then what you would get if you upgraded to our commercial version.
So what are those differences for our users to know, our listeners to know?
So for example, if you want to track, if you want to do tampering, we just do in the box simple tampering. So the simple tamper would detect that it's been tampered with and send a message. If you want to do custom response to tampering, then you need to upgrade to the commercial version. With feature tracking, let's say that you decide you want to track features. And a lot of people use this so for evaluations or betas. Let's say you've got a beta release and you want to track, you know, I've added 10 new features. Are my beta customers actually using those 10 features? I mean, a lot of times, you don't get any feedback from them. So is the application stable? Because we also report back if the application's unstable, what environments they're running it on. We report back all kinds of forensic information. But in the version in Visual Studio, you can track up to 10 things. In the commercial version, you can track an unlimited number of things. So everything in Visual Studio is fully functional and usable. It's just that, you know, you get a whole lot more if you upgrade.
You know, I'm just sitting here listening, and I'm thinking, like, you know, what you're telling me is that I could actually use this internally, too, because we actually write a framework for the .NET framework for our company. And all of the developers, you know, across the enterprise use this, you know, tool, and or they're going to once we finish it. But once we get to that point, it would be great to know what they're using and what they're not using, just, you know, inside of our own code base. So
exactly,
that's kind of interesting. You know,
yeah,
would it?
Yeah, it is. So Gabriel, where do these messages go, and how do the developers interact with them once the application send them?
That's a great question. So the messages go out via SOAP or Secure SOAP, and they can go to a number of places. So they can go to a free endpoint that we have in the cloud that doesn't have any service level agreements, you know, or things like that. But it's there and available. So that way you can get really nice reports, you know, and take a look at it. You can go to our commercial service in the cloud, which gives you a whole lot more ability, guaranteed service level agreements, you know, keep your data around for a long time, allow you to interact with other web services calls and extract the data out to integrate it. It can also go to your own endpoint. So the system is open. You could just say, you know, here's my endpoint. I've written it, you know, it's a web service calls. I've written my endpoint. I'll get the data and I'll do what I want with it. So it's really up to you, the developer, to choose, you know, how you want to do it. Do you want to use our free endpoint in the cloud? Do you want to use our commercial endpoint in the cloud? Do you want to write your own endpoint? And eventually, as Windows Azure matures and has more features and functionality, we'd like to be able to specify an endpoint inside Windows Azure as well.
So the custom endpoints that developers can set up, is that out of the box with the free version, or is that the commercial version?
No, that's out of the box with the free version. Even with the free version, you can specify a custom endpoint and receive the messages. If you want to use this, you literally could get Visual Studio 2010, not even talk to Preemptive, and use it. Even with the free endpoint in the cloud, we make that available very easily, very low friction to use. So,
you know, I'm just sitting there thinking, from like an enterprise level, are you going to do anything to where somebody could like install like a product internally and then pump things to there?
That's a great question, and we actually get that question a lot, and that's something we're working on. So we're working on an installed version where you'll be able to actually install your own endpoint internally, and then be able to do stuff with it. The other important thing to know here is, there's meaningful value in the data, but there's a lot of meaningful value in connecting the data with other data. So if you think of the broader vision, for example, let's say that you're using Performance Point or some of the other Microsoft tools, and you've got data from various different sources, and data from applications is just one spoke in the wheel. So maybe there's some things that, based on what reports you're running or what you're doing, that are leading indicators for your business. You could actually get that data and then aggregate the data or connect the data with other business intelligence that your business has. And so we have some hooks we're working as well on that side so that we can make that easy for people to do.
Here's a question for you. Let's get a little deeper down the rabbit hole, kind of in the back end, because I know a lot of developers are going to, you know, have these, you know, questions. Well, if you're doing all this stuff, you know, you may impact my application. And, you know, how are you moving the data from my application over to your application? Like, really, what are you doing in this, you know, that back end story there?
Okay, so if we can just step back and look at some of the functionality as essentially standardized streaming logs that don't require any coding. And so how does that work so it doesn't impact the performance of your application? Well, just like typical log files, you know, we have a number of things that we do to make sure we don't impact the performance, because one of our mantras is first do no harm, right? So what we do is we spawn a low-priority thread that then uses SOAP calls. It queues up messages, and when appropriate, it sends them out using SOAP or secure SOAP over to our server. And on that side, on the back-end side, you know, we use MSMQ to queue up the messages.
Okay, so you're actually, you're pushing messages, kind of doing some smart. The server's not under high-intensity load at this point, so now's a good time to push the messages out and stuff like that. So, and you're using MSMQ, so you don't lose any messages, obviously. So that's the story there, mm-hmm. Right? So that makes sense. That sounds like a good story.
So Gabriel, if I have a company and I have salespeople and marketing people that want to kind of use this data, how does it kind of surface up to the people who actually need to use it?
That's a great question. So there's a number of different ways the data can be surfaced. One is simply you can log into the portal and look at the reports, and the reports are, you know, very flexible with pie charts and, you know, all kinds of stuff. You can take the data and you can actually export it. You can export it into typical formats like CSV, but you can also access them with Secure SOAP and pull them into other systems. And if you want to do that, you can connect them with other systems, for example, CRM. And I'll give you a scenario that we're doing. Our salespeople used to, when we gave an evaluation copy, it would be completely opaque to our salespeople. Now what happens is, because the application itself can actually send back these messages, the salesperson knows right within CRM. So they don't actually have to go to a portal or leave it or anything. They can pull up the record of the person that they're responsible for, and they can see, did they run the evaluation? How many times did they run it? Did it crash on them? What's the forensic data around what operating system they're using and version of the .NET framework? What features did they use? You know, for example, for us, if it's a mobile application and you don't have pruning turned on, that's kind of silly, because that's one of the major benefits that DocuSkater gives you. So that might be something they want to point out to the person is, hey, you know, make sure you turn this feature on, because it's really relevant to what you're trying to do. So it's really interesting, because it now to the salespeople, they have all this additional data, this point of work data that they never had before, right within the systems that they normally access and use.
So is that CRM integration, is that part of your commercial product, or is that something that comes with the free version?
So that would be part of the commercial product, and obviously there's a little bit of customization work there too, because, you know, what works for us isn't necessarily going to work for a different company. So, you know, there'll be a little bit of integration. It's not difficult, you know, and that could either be done with a system integrator, or they can do themselves internally. And there's other scenarios where maybe you've got some data inside Performance Point, and application data could be a spoke in the wheel for that data. So maybe you've got data around executive data, and you want to track certain applications because they're leading, certain events are leading indicators of something happening to the business. For example, workflow scenarios or certain reports being run might be leading indicators to a high-level person that something important is, a trend is occurring. So there's different use cases where the data is valuable to product managers, the data is valuable to architects and developers. You know, maybe they're looking at betas and who's using what features. The data can be valuable to more senior level people as part of a spoke in a wheel.
Thanks for that. I was just really interested in how people use it.
Yeah, I mean you're pumping a lot of data out, so you got to be able to look at it, obviously. You know, you said workflow, and I was sitting here going, you know, it would be cool to actually, if you had workflow foundation, you know, behind some of the messages and be able to allow people like drop in workflow DLLs and custom assemblies and then kick off workflows as messages come in or something like that, or maybe some kind of custom thing. So, sort of an interesting idea, I thought, maybe.
So that's a great idea. I think we just got a new feature request. I'll have to get back with my dev team on that, but that's a great idea.
Well, it's just something like, you know, you've got workflow, and we've seen some really cool stuff with it. So if messages are coming in and you know, this particular one thing happens or there's a, you know, something in there, you could just drop a workflow in and say, you know, pipe the messages through the workflow and see if something happens, and then, you know, send an email, hey, this thing blew up or you know, something like that. So, you know, or even, you know, even going even further, like you could pump it to BizTalk or something, because that's just an endpoint too.
Okay, so that's a great question around BizTalk. Because we're using standard SOAP, you could very easily have a standard SOAP BizTalk adapter that would accept those message requests, and then you just would write your own custom BizTalk adapter to be able to do something with the data.
Yeah, that's a good story too. You're sort of getting all the interoperability stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff you guys could do. I like this. This is cool, Woody.
So I haven't really done any work in this area before, but I think I do have some side projects that I could use with this.
We're writing right now. You and I are working on the next big thing, so we would definitely want to, obfuscate that,
Exactly.
We're kidding, people. We're not really working on anything.
So with the big announcement here at PDC of Azure, tell me if you guys have a little more knowledge, a little more product enhancement that you guys are going to do in the future to use Azure in better ways for the developer.
Oh, that's a great question. So, there's really two ways of looking at this. One is, eventually we want to provide an endpoint inside of Azure, right? But also for people who are writing applications to Azure, what could end up happening is your application could be instantiated in Seattle and running, and the very next minute could be instantiated in Dubai and running. And so how do you have a common streaming log from those two different endpoints that communicates information? We can solve that problem because within it, it's, again, you don't have to write any code. You just check off what you want to track. It'll send it to a common place. And we'll also work with hybrid applications where you've got part of your application running in the cloud and part running on a client. You can now have those standardized streaming logs going to one endpoint and being aggregated. So we think it's a natural fit.
So it sounds like you like the Azure stuff coming out.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very exciting. I think we've got a great message and a great story around it as well.
Yeah, we're going to be actually interviewing some of those guys here in the next, hour or so. So we got something set up with those guys. We're going to go a little deeper with those guys.
Gabriel, at the end, we always let people plug their products and services. So give us a little plug.
Wait, he's been plugging the whole show, man. Come on.
Oh, there hasn't been a URI on the show
that
yet.
That is true.
So.
He hasn't really marketed this thing too bad.
I know.
He's been doing
he
good.
He has been
he's
doing
been
a
really
good job
good.
For being the chief peanut butter spreader.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll give you a little time to let everyone know where they can go out and get your product and kind of get some documentation and learn more about it.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm not going to do the traditional marketing because what I'm going to tell you guys is there's two ways to do this right now. One is go out and get the CTP release of Visual Studio 2010 and play with it. It's already in there. Now you'll have to turn networking on because by default it's turned off. So that's one way to do it. And again, what I want people to do is look forward. Think about what you're doing now so that when Visual Studio 2010 is eventually released, you'll be ready for it, right? You'll already have built out services that will take advantage of it. So that's one way to do it is right within Visual Studio. Look at the CTP release if you have access and the beta releases that are coming. The other way is to go ahead and get our commercial version and try it. We've got a trial version. It's really easy to use. One of the things we've been told is that, it's just a matter of clicks. You just click a few things and boom, you've got it working. So it doesn't need to slow your development process down. You know, there's not a big long process to give this a try and see if it works for you and see what the value is.
What if somebody has 2005? Can they still use it?
Yeah, absolutely. They would, with the commercial version, right? So the commercial version, supports 2005, 2003. It doesn't matter. But to use it for free, they'll have to get the new version of Visual Studio.
So it's a reason to upgrade.
Well, Gabriel, I really appreciate you coming on. And thanks a lot for kind of sharing the news that Microsoft announced this week and let our listeners know that for the ones who weren't here at PDC, they can get a little taste of the joy and the love that's going on around here. So I really appreciate it. And maybe we'll have you on when Visual Studio 2010 gets released, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, a little more technical details, and maybe some even more future plans for you guys.
Great. I would love that. And I'll absolutely do that. And again, our URL, which I forgot to mention, is www.preemptive.com. That's one place you can go to learn more about this.
Very good, Gabriel. So I really appreciate you coming on the show. Woody, it's been a pleasure, sir.
Pleasure's all mine. And I wanted to do one more to Gabriel for sponsoring the party with Palermo that was out here at PDC. So we had a good time and hanging out with Jeff and everybody else. So
that's right. You guys are really involved with that. That's
I just
really
wanted
cool.
To thank you for that sponsorship.
Yeah, I would encourage any of you if you are coming out to future PDCs or Tech Eds. It's always the night before the event, and it's called Party with Palermo, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a great place to meet people.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's it for this show. We're going to put this one in the can. We appreciate you tuning on to Deep Fried Bites. As always, you can reach us at comments@deepfriedbites.com. You can also reach us on Twitter/deepfriedbites, and we're also on Facebook. We thank you for tuning in, and we're out. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.